Jack was next for the testing. He and Ryan had discussed what weapon the albino teenager should choose. The youth's first instinct was to go for his beloved throwing knives. Ryan had seen him in action with them often enough to know that nobody in Deathlands could touch his uncanny skill.
But they don't know you've got them, Jack. They got all our weapons off us. You said you still got 2 or 3 blades concealed, right?
Yeah.
Best to keep them hidden, don't you reckon? We don't have many surprises going for us on our side.
Could ask for the one blade they took.
You could. But how about if you choose hand to hand?
Shoot. Like it, Ryan. I show them fucking testing.
The choice threw Wolf and the senior members of the religious community.
That's not proper testing.
Don't see why not. It's a genuine scale.
Guess that's so, brother.
Probably some sort of trick. Like that bitch with her freaky deaky blaster. A cheat.
I'm not sure that being a better shot is cheating, Brother Caitlin. Not by any of the Lord Jesus' definitions. I vote we let him try his hand at close combat.
There was a general agreement. But a fresh problem sprang up as soon as they tried to select who their champion would be in the testing against Jack. Ryan and the others watched as a bitter argument developed among the Children of the Rock. It came down quickly to a straight choice between a pair of siblings, Bull Burrows and his almost identical brother, Lee. Both were big men, weighing in close to 300 pounds, with hands like platters of raw ham. Both had lost all of their teeth, with bleeding gums, probably owing to the rad sickness. Both were in their middle 20s, close to 6.5 feet tall, with long, greasy hair that was flaking away from their narrow skulls in places. And both seemed more interested in battling each other.
I can lick my little brother Lee blindfolded. That'll be the day, Bull. Not, not, not.
Make them tussle to pick a winner to lick the whitey kids.
Let the Outlander pick which one gets to wail the tar out of him.
Sounds fair. Brother Lauren, how do you feel about making a choice yourself, sonny boy?
Both.
Both? You said that you'll take both the Burroughs boys on? One after the other?
No. Both at once.
Ryan could have written the script for the coming hand-to-hand conflict, and he'd have been pretty close to the final predictable outcome. JB could have done the same. Just as Mildred was possibly the finest shot in the whole of Deathlands, so Jack was very probably the finest exponent of hand-to-hand lethal fighting that Ryan had ever known. His lean, 120-pound body was almost unbelievably agile, his fighting reflexes acutely honed, like a fine, ivory-hilted, cutthroat razor. To someone who didn't know Jack, however, the fight looked absurdly unbalanced and unfair. 2 huge men were stripped to the waist, in belted jeans and knee-high boots. Their hairless bodies showed signs of running to fat, with a number of deep purple weeping sores dappling them. Their jowled faces were wreathed in eager, anticipatory, leering grins, and they were flexing their massive hands as they both dropped into a half-crouch. Jack, facing them, looked like a starving waif. He had taken off his canvas camouflage jacket and chose to fight in his ragged, short-sleeved, gray fur jacket. Jim Owsley and Wolf stared incredulously at the seeming mismatch. Ryan made a side comment to Christy, and the pair overheard him.
This won't last more than a short minute.
You're right there, Outlander. Inside a minute and that kid'll be dead meat. Rat food.
Brother Ryan, you sure about this?
I'm sure.
All right, then. May the Lord Jesus, blessed Savior of the merciful stranglehold and the knee drop, pick the winners of this combat. Go to it, boys.
Bull and Lee hadn't traveled all that much around Deathlands and had little experience in serious fighting outside their secluded enclave. But they knew that it was easy enough to beat the crap out of most of the younger men living in the ville, and so this fragile youth with a mane of tumbling white hair had to be just there for the taking. And the first few seconds of the fight confirmed what nearly everyone expected. The moment the word was given by Brother Wolf, Jack turned away and ran from the 2 hulking men, his feet barely seeming to brush the earth as he glanced back over his shoulder to see if he was being pursued. The brothers split up and readied themselves to close in slowly on him from both sides.
You, catch him!
Stop running and turn and fight, kid!
Shoot him if he tries to break out of the veil!
Jack opened up a gap of about 40 yards, stopping before he reached the edge of the settlement. He paused for a moment, facing the heavily built pair of brothers, his arms dangling loosely at his sides. Lee and Bull paused in their pursuit, grinning at each other, their fingers clasping and unclasping. Ryan could smell the rancid odor of their sweat from where he watched.
Hey, Outlander! Now in half a minute already!
Jack gave the brothers a mocking half-bow, then exploded into movement, powering across the clearing toward them, his legs a blur of white speed. Suddenly he changed direction, reversing his attack, going into a series of snapping back handsprings.
Look out!
Jack was so much faster than the Burroughs boys that neither of them managed to lay a hand on him. He whipped between them at extraordinary speed, and everyone heard a horrifying sound. Jack did a double somersault, landing agilely on both feet. Perfectly balanced, his hands still at his sides. His chest was barely moving.
What the hell just happened?
Lee and Bull Burroughs were down on the dirt, both clutching at their knees. They rolled over and over, their faces contorted with a twin rictus of rending agony. Their bloodied mouths open wide, eyes squeezed shut.
Did he? Damned if I could make out how he did that.
Kicked out both sides as he went past them. Hit them smack on and smashed their knee joints apart. Attaboy, Jack!
Sweet Jesus! That ain't possible, is it?
Finished?
I don't know about you, Jack, but they sure are!
Help them up and take them away.
Two to us. Sure you want to keep this going, Brother Wolf? Can you afford to lose good men?
Who goes next? How about me or JB taking our turn?
How about me taking on the redhead slut?
This came from the giantess. She brushed to the front of the crowd, standing with her hands on her broad hips, staring aggressively at Christy, her face contorted with a violent hatred. She wore a cropped, short-sleeved white blouse of bleached leather over torn and faded ancient denim cutoffs, leaving a gap that revealed her belly button, sticking out like a chameleon's eye. Her hair was hacked short, teased into sharp spikes. The wide leather belt carried a knife, nearly as long and broad as Ryan's panga. At a guess, he put her at just over 6'3" and way above the 250-pound mark. And there didn't look to be an ounce of fat on her body.
Well, now, Sister Sprite, I don't know if that...
Fuck you and the wag you ride on, Brother Wolf. I don't see anyone here, woman or weakling, is gonna stand agin me on this.
Ryan glanced at Christy out of the corner of his good eye, looking for some reaction. But she was totally still and impassive, her arms folded across her chest, her eyes half closed against the bright sunlight.
Sister Sprite challenges the Outlander woman, Sister Christy Roth, to a testing as under the laws and gospels prescribed by the Children of the Rock.
What weapon?
Behind Ryan, somewhere deep within the mighty pine forest, a flock of crows squawked into the sunlit air. They circled around, their black shadows etched on the cerulean blue of the sky. Ryan half turned, wondering what might have startled the birds, watching as they weaved around one another, before, at a soundless signal, they flew off southward.
What weapon you like? Blaster or blade? Best would be to get my fingers around that scrawny neck and choke the fucking life from it. Watch your tongue swell purple and your green cat's eyes pop out of their sockets like the knobs on a Mission Hall harmonium.
Not hand to hand, lover. She looks to be.
What has to be, lover.
Christy turned and laid a hand on Ryan's arm, as gentle as the brushing of a butterfly's wing. You see this?
Yes, I see this, lover. As though I've known this moment for all of my life. Seen this woman, these trees, these people, yeah. I know them all.
Ryan felt the chill of layered ice gripping around his heart, seeming to paralyze him. There was a note in Christie's voice that he'd never heard before, in all the time that they'd ridden together. No.
Let's go, goddammit! You ready for this, sister?
I guess so.
Thoughts raced helter-skelter through Ryan's head. Maybe if they all acted together, they could grab some weapons from the watching Sekhmen, taking advantage of their fascination with what was going down in front of them. Open fire into the heart of the crowd, and hope to be able to make a run for it amid the panic and bloody confusion. Then, Ryan heard Doc's coughing from the hut. They couldn't try any sort of an escape with Doc, not in his present state, and they surely couldn't run for safety without him. The chips had to lie where they fell.
I'll do whatever you want, Sister Sprite. And all the gods, yours and mine, can decide who has the right.
Then to the death!
If that's what you wish.
Ryan knew that he should try to stop the fight, but Christie's hand was still on his arm, the touch of her flesh on his, warm and reassuring. Reading his thoughts, she half smiled at him.
No, lover. Not this time.
Ryan tried one last time, touching her on the arm, but she shook her head and pulled away.
No, lover.
Come on!
Sister Sprite emanated a genuine aura of power and evil. The name of Sprite conjured up a picture of someone light, blonde, blue-eyed and delicate, small-boned and skinny, with flounced hair and a rose-pink complexion. Sister Sprite, Hopeville's finest, was the exact antithesis of that. Sister Sprite was something else. Her whole body breathed violence, and her small, piggy eyes flared with the desire to torture and murder. Her strong, stubby fingers, with chipped and jagged nails, clenched and unclenched, as she waited for Wolf to give the signal of approval for the testing with Christie to begin.
Combat between Sister Sprite and the Outlander woman known as Christie Roth. No blasters or blades to be used. Anything else allowed. That includes kicking and gouging, hair pulling and thumb twisting. May the blessed apostles all watch and lend their support for a clean fight. Ready?
Ready.
Yeah, I'm fucking ready.
Then get to it. No quarter to be asked or given. To the death.
Sister Sprite edged in toward her adversary, her arms held loosely at her waist, ready to grip or to counter.
You both can do it!
Yeah!
Come on, you ginger bitch! Come to mama!
Christie saved her breath, circling counterclockwise, keeping out of reach of Sister Sprite. She was so outweighed that she knew to try to fight at close quarters could quite literally prove fatal. The Champion of Hopeville made several feints at Christie, nearly managing to grab her slender wrist and draw her into her embrace. Ryan's heart leapt to his throat, his breath whistling between his parted lips at the narrow escape.
Keep off her, lover! Mind your own business!
Christie tried an attack of her own, feinting to lunge, straight-armed, stiff-fingered at Sprite's face, altering the angle at the last nanosecond to try to kick at the woman's knees. But Sprite moved easily out of range, like a huge cat, perfectly balanced.
So far, so bad.
Sprite pretended to stumble, landing on hands and knees in the piled leaf mold close to the footpath through the bill, waiting a moment and shaking her head as if stunned. Ryan was about to shout a warning, but it wasn't necessary. Christie wasn't a person to let herself be fooled as easily as that. She backed away, half turning to grin reassuringly across at Ryan. And then Sprite struck. As she straightened, Sprite threw two handfuls of the powdery leaf mold, mixed with sharp pine needles, directly into Christie's face, following it up with the frightening speed of a charging buffalo. Christie staggered backward, stumbled clumsily, her hands trying to clear her blinded eyes, opening and closing them to try to see through the sudden flood of tears. Too late, and way too slow. Sprite was on top of her, clasping her muscular arms around Christie's chest, crushing her to her own body as both women fell to the earth. There was a dull thud as Christie's skull hit the dirt, followed almost simultaneously by a sickening crack as Sprite drove her forehead into Christie's face. Blood gushed from Christie's nose and cut mouth, and she lay still and helpless.
You're chilled, bitch!
Sprite straddled the inert body, her knees gripping her victim's chest, holding her motionless, while the giant woman's big butcher's hands grappled for a hold on Christie's throat.
Finish her!
Out of the corner of his eye, Ryan noticed that Jim Owsley's right hand was caressing the tight front of his jeans, and his mouth sagged open with a morbid obscene delight.
Christie!
Ryan took a step forward, stopping as he felt the sharpness of the barrel of a pistol jammed into his spine, not even seeing who held it. He was aware that several of the Bill's armed men had leveled their revolvers and rifles at the Outlanders, preventing the possibility of interference from any of them.
Watch and enjoy. Payment of debts.
Sprite grinned at her shrieking supporters, showing her broken, stained teeth. She leaned forward, putting all her weight into the strangulation, her fingers digging into the soft flesh of Christie's neck. Christy thrashed her head from side to side, her emerald eyes staring wide, white-rimmed, threaded with blood. Her mouth was open, rasping breath, struggling for release, her tongue protruding and purple. Brother Wolf was rocking back and forth, his hand on the butt of his blaster, grinning broadly, his eyes locked to Ryan's face.
Yes, Brother Carter. A dish best eaten cold, wouldn't you say?
If there hadn't been so many blasters trained on him and his friends, Ryan would have made a grab for Wolf's pistol and risked holding him for ransom. The life of the leader of the Children of the Rock in exchange for the life of Christy. But it would have been a suicidal gesture. All that seemed left to him was the possibility of wreaking a bloody revenge. Sprite was toying with her victim, releasing her grip and allowing Christy to draw in a couple of tortured breaths, then closing off the air passage again.
Ryan, she's dying.
Mildred turned to face Wolf, her fists clenched tight with anger.
She's butchering her.
So she is, Sister Wyeth. So she is.
Christy was fluttering in and out of consciousness, her hands beating feebly at Sprite's broad shoulders, making no impression on the woman. Ryan made a grim decision.
Use the power, lover! Use Gaia! You fucking well have to!
Christy had been taught a number of arcane skills by her mother, Sonya, a woman wise in the old mystic traditions. It wasn't just the power of seeing. It was the ability, in times of extreme need, to transform herself with almost supernatural forces, giving her inhuman strength. But it always drained her energy so deeply that it often took her to the brink of the grave.
Use it!
Do it!
There was no sign that Christy had heard them. She appeared to be unconscious now, well along the dark road from which no traveler ever returned. Sprite sat back once more, taking a moment to release her victim, clasping her meaty hands above her head in a gesture of triumph.
Now, lover! Call on the Earth Mother, Christy! God damn it, lover! Do it now!
Ryan saw Christy's bloodless lips moving, but it was impossible to hear what she was saying. Her eyes had closed, and she seemed to be concentrating all of her mental energy on taking herself to another place, focusing inward, her hands opening and closing.
Gaia!
Sprite seemed to sense that something was going on, but there was a bizarre change happening in the helpless body clasped below her. She reached down and resumed her grip on Christy's throat, smiling in triumph as she began to apply what everyone recognized was going to be the primal pressure.
It's over, bitch.
But Christy seemed to have grown in size. Her eyes snapped open, and the rictus of hopeless agony on her face changed into a gentle smile. It was something that Sister Sprite saw immediately, and the Watchers gradually recognized as an ominous development.
Sprite is about to pluck the feet right out of the jaws of victory.
Christy reached up almost lazily and laid her hands on the muscular forearms of the huge woman. Christy flexed her entire body with a visible surge of the Earth Mother's power. The entire crowd heard the double snap of the bones of both Sprite's arms, Radius and Ulna, breaking like fragile frosted twigs. The broken bones tore through muscle and skin, revealing the whiteness of jagged ivory, bathed in the bright blood that spilled into the sunlight. Sister Sprite tried to throw herself clear of Christy, but the smaller woman, her gentle smile scarily unchanged, clung to her, twisting and crushing.
You crippled me. I'm done for.
She hung like a helpless rag doll in Christy's inexorable grip. Everyone could hear the sound of the lines of bone rubbing against each other. Then Christy pushed Sprite away from her with an unforgettable gesture of contempt. She turned her head to face Wolf.
To their death? Is that what you said, Brother Wolf?
I said that.
Sprite was hunched over, her ruined arms clasped under her, her face in the dirt. Christy paused to wipe sweat and leaf mold from her face, standing over the woman. For a moment, Ryan had a vision of Christy astride a broken stallion.
Do it, lover!
Oh, I will.
Christy stooped over the hapless sister sprite and gripped her giant skull between her hands. She started to twist it. The body jerked and relaxed. There was a dark stain appearing at the crotch of Sprite's pants as her bowels and bladder emptied. Christy stood for a moment, then opened her hands and staggered away from the twitching corpse. She took three tottering steps and fell like a huge log to the earth. Ryan ran to her, kneeling at her side, seeing that the use of the Gaia power had exacted a dreadful toll. Christy lay completely still, unconscious, her breath rapid and shallow, her heart pounding at twice its normal speed. Ryan raised his head.
You said to the Death Wolf, if Christy dies as well, I swear on the grave of all my friends that I'll take your bastard life.
But the leader of the Children of the Rock wasn't listening. He turned on his heel and walked away toward his hut.